Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
All right, hold on. Hello,
man.
Welcome to another episode of Kentuckiana Grassroots Radio. Today we have a special guest with us, John Yoon. John, do you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right, sounds great. All right, well, today, now, I've known you for several years. I think you have been on, but it's been several years since we had you on. Let's go ahead and talk about your campaign. Well, no, before we start talking about the campaign, I want to introduce people to you. John, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is John Yoon?
Well, I'm an engineer by trade. I also work as a United States Naval officer. I was ordained minister, and I graduated from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, got a Master of Divinity degree, and I work on all sorts of life. The reason why I'm looking or working for running for Senate position, because the Bible said, James 4:17, knowing something is good and refuse to do it is a sin. Now, looking at today's in our society, many people are incarcerated not because they commit crimes, simply because they have no money. Poor, living in this town, if you have no money, it is a crime. A problem is that if you don't have money and you're waiting for the public defender to defend you, chances are they will ask you to plead guilty. And regardless of what your charges are, even though you are not guilty.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
I know you are a master of talking about the cause. I want people to kind of know a little bit more about you as they kind of talk about these causes. Now, obviously, I think a lot of people would notice that you have an Asian accent and you look like an Asian, too, as a joke. But tell us a little bit about... are you a natural-born citizen, or are your parents immigrants, or how did all that kind of work out, and how did you become...
My family came over here a long time ago, even though under the Fourth Second War. My uncle served under General Eisenhower and landed in Normandy and D-Day, and my uncle served in the Korean War. So my family has a lot of American military history. And also being a commissioned officer of the United States Navy, I took my oath seriously. I took my oath against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, okay? Right now that we have a lot of traitors in our country who take our Constitution, trash our Constitution. The problem is that, you know, we all talk about the American freedom. Freedom is not free. Many of American heroes have paid for our liberty and freedom with their blood. When we when some of the Americans trash the U.S. Constitution, they basically step in on and walk on top of the blood of our American heroes. And they should go to the Arlington Cemetery and apologize to our American heroes.
Well, let me be the first to say that I thank you and your family for all they've sacrificed for our people and our nation. You definitely are somebody who has been a blessing to us, and I appreciate that. Let me ask you real quick, what drew you to become a Christian and go into study to be a minister and things like that?
Well, I'm glad that you asked. In fact, I found out that there's many of the people who call themselves a minister, they are not really called by God. One of the reasons for that is I have struggled to become a minister because that, like I said, I have a degree as an engineer. I taught physics, you know, before, and I did a lot of different things. Being a minister, you don't make any money, and you have to give up your position to make good money. And but I'm not regretting it. The reason for that because I've fought with God so many times. Let me say that number one, that when God called me into His to serve Him, I refused. I refused to do that. I said that, how do I know that you call me? So I asked Him to show me some evidence. So at that particular time, I was working with the United States Air Force as an engineer, and I travel around the world and doing the job for the Air Force. And a particular Sunday, I flew into Oklahoma. And I was asking to go to a church, but I asked God to direct me to a church, but I didn't know where to go. So from Monday to Sunday to Friday, I still didn't know what to go. On Saturday, I drove around, and I was hungry, and I said, let's go eat dinner. So I went into a restaurant and ate dinner. Didn't know, I don't even remember what type of food was that. So when I sat down, one of the gentlemen came into my booth, you know, and that is kind of odd, and he asked, can I sit in to join you with dinner? And I said, sure, you know. So he sat down over there. And then again, before that, I was talking about anything else. He invited me to go to church, his church tomorrow, which is behind the restaurant. That's kind of odd if God didn't intervene there. And the following morning, I went up to that church. That's a huge church. And I remember that church is called Del City, Oklahoma. And there's I think Bailey Smith was the minister over there, and there's a live television broadcast. And the first day over there, I didn't know nobody. I was invited going up to the pulpit. And when I came back, I told my pastor about that. And he goes like, didn't you ask God give you the sign? And he gave you the sign. And I told him, I said that at that particular time, I refused to go into the ministry and was saying that the reason for that, they invite me because I was cute, you know, I'm cute, you know, so, so shortly after that, then I went back to do my engineering job, and again, I went to another church, which is the Missionary Baptist Church, okay, and anybody know that Missionary Baptist, no, not Missionary Baptist, it's called Alliance Church, okay, Alliance Church is a very conservative church. And one day that I went over there, I didn't even know the pastor. And I walked in over there, and the pastor asked me to teach Sunday school. That's kind of odd. I've never been to church before. First day, first time I walk in there, and the pastor asked me. After a couple of weeks, I decided to confront the pastor. I think that he is irresponsible because that he doesn't know my background. I could be a Mormon, could be Jehovah's Witnesses, could be a cult. But I confronted him, and the pastor told me that something that was shocked. He said, John, I have been pastor for 45 years. I've never done this. This is the first time. And I said, ask him why. He said, when you walk in there, the Holy Spirit directed me to ask this man to teach Sunday school. He said, when the Holy Spirit asked me to do it, being a minister, I cannot refuse. So that is a big shock to me that God has prepared me for all these different things. And the, another thing is that I refuse to go into the ministry because, that, as Matt mentioned about that, my background, being a Chinese background, and I did not speak, you know, perfect English. As you can see that I can hear, I still have some accent. And that time I was even worse than that. I can hardly make a sentence out of it. So my excuse was legitimate and said, God, you don't want me to go because I cannot speak the language. But shortly after I said that, the Holy Spirit came to me and said that, you know, said that Moses said the same thing. You know, don't you know that I'm the one who gave the language? And I'm grateful that because God gave the language, now I can articulate it in the English language, although not perfect, but I think that people can understand what I said.
Did your family tend to kind of just continue to speak Chinese for a couple generations?
Well, actually, not really, but the thing is this, the Bible is true. One of them, my wife's grandfather, he was a missionary in Vietnam under also Missionary Alliance Church as a missionary. And when communists came, many people who fled to the U.S. at that particular time, he was 80 years old. He could be easily said that he could retire and come to the United States because all his children and family in living in California, they are very wealthy. So therefore, that he could say that. But the thing is that all the ministers fled Vietnam and came to the U.S. in the name of that God's calling. I have a big question about how many God called because of the situation. So he left behind being like a good Navy captain. He said that I'm going to sing with the ship. So therefore, when communists came and he, you know, they kill him. But I have to say one thing. The Bible is true. They said you love me, you know, God will bless you many generations. I'm going to tell you how God bless us. Bless this minister, a missionary, who sacrificed for our Lord. Like my wife's family, and every one of the kids graduate from a PhD from MIT and also Caltech, Stanford. Everyone have PhD, and all his family, including the brother-in-law. Now, I only have one master degree, and I'm the least educated in the family. I only have one master degree, and I'm the least educated in the family. My son's outranked me. My son is a medical doctor. And then again, all my kids finish college and so forth. And that is what I'm saying. If you serve the Lord, the Lord will bless you. And like I said, and you can see the families that, you know, everyone graduated from a college with a PhD, with a prestige college. And even though my own son is a medical doctor right here in Louisville, Kentucky. So God's
blessing. Well, I tell you what,
it's real.
Let's go ahead and talk a little bit about what is the office you're running for? Is it federal senator or is it state senator?
State senator.
Okay.
The reason I'm running for state senator is this. Everybody in America know about our judicial tyranny. Everybody know about the judges make rule on benches. They rule by opinion. They don't rule by laws. But everybody about this thing here. But the question is, why are we afraid? Because we are telling the truth, okay? And everyone that complain about that, the Christians complain about that, minister complain about, but nobody is willing to do the thing. And I can understand, because they don't want to rock the boat. If you rock the boat, maybe you might have to pay for the consequences. They might put you in jail, and they railroad you, and you're selling drugs and so forth. And I'm going to tell you, listen, I never smoked a single joint of marijuana. But don't be surprised someday that they will say that, you know, I'm trafficking cocaine or whatever that may be. They will railroad me, put me in jail, or I may be swimming in the water. But if I do swim in the water, I can guarantee you I'm not committing suicide. Somebody's going to do the job. But yet, I'm not afraid because I'm going to the better place. The reason for that, because I know who my servant. I'm serving a living God. So that's the reason why I have no fear. The reason, for the past 20, 25 years, I'm fear that, you know, I'm upsetting a lot of different things. I'm upsetting about my fellow Christian brothers and sisters. I'm afraid to upset my fellow preachers. But the thing is that when I come to realize that's one thing, who am I serving? Am I serving my fellow preacher, brothers and sisters? No, I'm serving a living God. His name is called Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross for me. So therefore, that he is the only one I need to serve. I don't need to worry about what other people think to serve him. When he asked me, as a military soldier, when my commander asked me to walk, I walk. When my commander asked me to jump, I jump. When my commander asked me to stop, I will stop. And that is what a good soldier should do. As a Christian soldier, you call yourself a Christian soldier, you should listen to your commanding officer, which is Jesus Christ. He asks you to do. I bet you at the end time, he's not asking you how many times you're going to be in the church to warm the pews. Warming a pew is not going to heaven. It's the thing is that when we face him, he will ask you, when I task you the thing, how many tasks have you completed it? As many times that I have said that, a lot of times we do things, but we are not pleasing God. I give you a case for what I'm saying. Like I said, that my kids has a medical doctor, my kids are there. A lot of times I ask my, one of my kids, I want you to buy me something, okay? For example, one time that I asked her to buy a coffee, okay? Which is, I know that's expensive. I want to try it and so forth. It costs about, I look at on the internet, it's about $400 a pound in the United States. But in overseas, it's about a fraction of the cost. I asked her to buy 2 kilos, came back so that I paid for her. But she knowing that it's expensive, she only bought me a 6 ounces, came back. Now, you should be happy? No, it's not happy. I'm not happy about the reason why I'm not happy, because I asked you to buy me 2 kilograms and you only bought 6 ounces. So from that point, I realized that as a Christian, when God asked me to buy 2 kilos, I should buy 2 kilos instead of buying 6 ounces. Buying 6 ounces is not completing the test. It is not honoring our God. In the military, we would have been court-martialed.
Now,
so as a fellow Christian, we should,
I want to make sure that people don't get confused here. What district are you running in for state legislature?
I'm running on District 33.
Okay, District 33. We got to make sure if you're in District 33, you're going to listen to this. This is the guy you want to look at. What are your
Kentucky Senate
I mean,
District 33?
Okay. Now, what are your top priorities as far as with your campaign?
Number one, like I said, that I several different things, judicial tyranny. You know, like judges that's not run, cannot, any law by, judges cannot run above the law. The U.S. Constitution states no one is have this, what they call, immunity, okay? And if, right now the judges said that basically you cannot sue the judge because that the one judge sue another judge said that you cannot sue a judge. That is against the U.S. Constitution. The U.S. Constitution specifically mentioned about no one has nobility title, okay? Nobility title, if one group of people said that you cannot be sued, you must have a nobility title, which is against the U.S. Constitution. And the U.S. Constitution is still the supreme law of the land. I don't care what other people mention about the Patriot Act or whatever that may be, the U.S. Constitution is still the supreme law of the land. Don't let other people trying to kid you, that they're patriots or other whatever executive order. Those are not the supreme law of the land. The United States Constitution, it is the supreme law of the land.
Amen. And, you know, this is a big point because a lot of people think that just because our laws have been undermined, it doesn't mean that we need to run away. We need to declare this is the supreme law of the land, and we're not going to back down from that.
The problem is that there's also another problem. The other problem is that right now most of the courts do not hold the U.S. Constitution. One of the things that I can assure you that, you know, many judges rule by opinion, okay? Now, having said that, I'm going to give you a case point. You guys can meditate about it. You know, in a few months ago, last year, Supreme Court passed that, you know, the law that is allowed the gays and lesbian marriage, okay? That is a violation of the U.S. Constitution. They circumvent the U.S. Constitution. Article 1 on the U.S. Constitution said the Congress shall not make law establish a state religion, okay, and prohibit a free exercise thereof, okay? A marriage, it is a religious ceremony. It is ordained by God. You can look it up in the Bible. When God made Adam, and then again, he said that, well, that man live alone is not good to be live alone, so therefore he created a helper, which is Eve, to help him. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, okay? So, but that is the religious ceremony. But however, when the Supreme Court circumvented and they said that, you know, the gays and lesbians, it's okay to marry, but when Congress, the one who makes laws, cannot even make law. What makes you think the Supreme Court have the power to make the law? That is a man-made law. The law was basically pretty much made on bench, but not by the Congress, which is that is one of the major problem in our countries. Judges rule by opinions, not by law. We need to hold the judges to the fire and make them accountable to their actions. They took an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution and Kentucky Constitution. They should abide by the U.S. Constitution and Kentucky Constitution, and they should follow the law just like everybody else. They should not be live above the law.
And it's a very important point. Now, usually I think of the 10th Amendment when it came to that issue, just because, you know, it's not in the Bill of Rights that says here's how we're going to do marriage. So it should have been left up to the states, and our state said, you know, marriage is defined between a man and a woman, and there is no other way to define it. And because it was so clear, they said, well, that has to be struck down. And the thing is that that's tyranny. That's not constitutional. And, you know, I don't know. It's one of those deals where I think that we could have just said we ignore what the Supreme Court is saying because they're not following
constitution. It is a tyranny. And I don't know, you remember about a couple months ago in Kentucky, there's a clerk named Kim Davis, okay?
Yeah.
And they jailed her illegally. I tell you why it's illegally. Because she followed the Kentucky Constitution. Kentucky Constitution, marriage is one man, one woman. Okay? This thing is chiseled out in the Kentucky Constitution in 2004. And then again, you know, because the Supreme Court mentioned about that, and she was jailed. But the thing is this. The marriage, it is a state issue. The marriage certificate is issued by the state. It's not issued by the federal government. So therefore, the federal government have no jurisdiction over their religious ceremony. Like I mentioned about that, the Supreme Court is overstepped their boundary. And we need to be wise about that. Unfortunately, and let me say something about that here. That a lot of people don't want to say about that. Let me open a can of worms. And I open this can of worms. I'm sure that nobody wants to donate my campaign and something like that. But that's okay. You know, if God wants you to donate, then fine. If God don't, you know, touch your heart, you don't have to donate a single dime. I just want to follow what God said and follow what the Holy Spirit said. What I'm trying to say is that American Christians, many of them, are gullible and ignorant. They follow their preacher or follow other people said. They need to open their minds and listen to what God said rather than follow other people. And unfortunately, many, like I said, that they are very gullible because of what other preachers said or the famous preacher said, they follow. What happened if that famous preacher happened to be a false prophet? And then again, you know, the Bible said, a blind lead another blind, we're both lit and, you know, fall in the ditch, you know. So we need to examine what is the clear follow the Holy Spirit rather than follow, you know, a man.
Well, and, you know, like as a preacher myself, I know that a lot of people, they listen to a preacher if he sounds good somehow. I don't know how they're supposed to sound, but they sound good. Then they listen to them, and they don't take time to read what the Bible says about any given issue. And, you know, it's okay to say, I'm going to pray to God to see his will. But if it's already in the Bible, you don't really need to pray. You need to pray. But do you have connection to a how can people get a hold of you and your campaign?
Well, if you want to send some donation to me, that is welcome. You know, and write down to John Yuen, YUENJOHN, PO Box 2194 Louisville, Kentucky 40221-0944. Or you can go to my website and take a look of that. My website is Yuen, YUEN 4 Senate. YUEN 4 Senate art, period, okay? drjrx.com. Again,
all right.
It's yen4senate.drjrx.com. Or you can send me an email. It's yen, YUEN, 4senate@gmail.com.
All right. Well, John, I really appreciate the time that we've had together, and I wish you the best of luck towards your Senate. I encourage people to check out his website and consider him on Election Day. Is that going to be in the spring or November?
I have a primary coming up, and my opponent is a registered Republican, but the thing is that she posts a picture with Fisher and also Yarmouth, which is both of them are Democrats, congressman and mayor. And I wonder, you know, like if you're a Republican, why do you take picture with two Democrats? You know, I just question,
yeah.
You know.
I think especially like John Yarmouth is especially anti-conservative, anti-Republican, anti-American,
anti-constitution.
Yeah, anti-constitution politics. So basically, you know, you don't want to pay that guy any honor that you don't have to. You got to be respectful, you know, if somebody's in office and stuff, but you don't want to go much farther than that if they're doing stuff that leads to, all the crimes and things that we have going on right now today.
I agree.
Well,
I think my opponent obviously agree with John Yarmouth and also Fisher's policies. Otherwise, she would not be so proud to post that picture on the internet that she took picture with the Yarmouth and Fisher. I have no picture for neither one of those.
Well, I'll tell you what, I wish you the best of luck, and we'll go ahead and close off this interview today at Kentuckiana Grassroots Radio, and we will see everybody later on. And John Yoon for State Senate. See y'all later.
Right. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Oh, I know. Those are in color. I'm talking about the belly.
Hey, tell him I said that he is my favorite stepson of all. Favorite stepson in the whole world.
And I'll tell you. I do live on a hospital. I tell you, you make that hurt one of us. You're me.
Well, how did you think that?
It's different.
That was like real deal counseling that we pulled off there.
I know. He even told me. I even told him that I had a problem with John and Pat. I said, it's not them. I love them. I said, and I told them, if had it been me, had I been there, he would have told him. That way, for all the accusers, who shut their mouth and said, he would have done a good job. And then after John, that is exactly why I told him that he's got to deal with the fact that he's just going to be easy. I just wanted to tell you something so I can be honest with you. I may make you mad and you won't want to hear about the thing. But the great smart for you is to bring me and his face to go into the room. Just so you know, so you talk to me. I will get to go as far as the. Maybe this is the only thing that would be. You tell me that you just want to be God's girl. So please careful. Don't let friends talk to you. Things that just don't let friends talk to you into that they can be found. Especially ones that look at the moment and not the long. Be careful of what the flesh says. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I don't want to lose your business. I just want you to have it. Find a strong woman that you can confide in so it doesn't stay all bottled up. Then you tell me who took the full responsibility for everything in his business. But so you know, I told him that he was going to take care of himself. I just try to keep our conversation as to no one is asking questions about me. Well, my goal is not to upset, but to be a
And of course, if you know, and I'm glad you got away with it, you don't get caught anymore. Because you brought up something about me.
I didn't talk to her. I wanted her to know not to be telling me stuff. That was the hope.
Right.
And what did he do to my conversation?
That basically, did he like turn it up once I got out?
Yeah. That is it. And so I feel. Because at the beginning, I said I want to be honest. And then that's why I said, I just, hey, I don't want her to feel like, well, I don't want nothing to do with it, but I'm protecting her, protecting me. I knew that she could do that. I knew he could. That's exactly why.
And then maybe expect. But I mean, that's the impression I get. I think it's a lot. I mean, it's got to affect them more. So all of our church is behind me. There's like family, and some of them might like, and then there's her work, and you know, and I need. Yeah, it's kind of like right now. He's like all crying, I went to like the water out of him.
Well, I don't think you realize what. He just thought you were going to be. Yeah. He, he wants to talk to me because of that moment.
Well, also, you. When you have a speech.
Aren't you telling me to tell him that what are you going to do with that?
Yeah. I'm really proud of you for just because I know what they're doing. I know that they're hoping that by having speech on you, you'll just butter them up and pop them off. And like in other words, you're a speaker. And basically, you know, some of you want to feel better and I'm gonna make it all right. But basically, all of a sudden, that's it.
Yeah, he's telling me how surprised that he talks about what he's doing. And I tell him again, but one of the people, I said, I don't, you know, or I said, you know how it was with Matt with the TV. And I said, we talked about this. And I said, yay, she sent him a Facebook message. I said, that was it. The number two, you're the best. This could have been two for Matt. And I said, that was, that thing, what started it was, is I said, film sometimes for the rest of the movie. And the guy, that was unbelievable. And I didn't, I didn't even say that. But then he said that he sent out, so, he had asked, and that was one of the things that I know, but I think But oh yeah, I have no doubt you can preach. You are a professional. It's about a
Even Dina will surprise you. Right? It's like the everyday stuff is sort of, you know. I told people this, to say, you told them, you're going to die tomorrow. I'm going to quit picking him up. And like, you know, I mean, Nina, I was with her a couple of years ago. And George was that I had been immature and stuff like that. And that was his fault. He accidentally called me. He was calling me and he called me. So I was over at Walmart. So everything was telling me, yeah, I was going to come back and call. As long as you don't look at my car. But, you know, it comes to her walking. Maybe it was a punishment. Him, all he's done, he's over there, and he just let her push the whole place up.
Whatever that's supposed to mean.
You're in the inner circle. There is no inner circle. Did you see that episode? Hey, like, it's just like the new boss came in and, like, oh, we're in the inner circle. And the guy was like, There he goes, inner circle. And then a little bit later, he gets kicked out of the inner circle. But there is no. But yeah, I mean, like, the fact that they were, like, all into you, and also, you all of one of the top leaders.
The fact that he's a man, but all his everything he's going the way
did you, like, did you like how I put it when it came to, like, you read that letter and stuff? Remember he opened up another letter and then I was like, oh.
Oh, yes, yes, that's what I mean. That's part of his teaching. It's the word. That was awesome. See, that's the same thing I've been trying to do. This has to be. I don't want to gain that. That tempted to do that. But he did care. He didn't do that today. But then he often no matter how we. If he cannot have self-control on this, he cannot have self-control. He has self-control. And I think that's what I would do. Because I've been
well, I mean, there are do you stay away from, like, what you do?
I probably not.
Remember, I asked
Jelly, please, don't talk to familiar. Jelly,